Well, I want to thank you for looking at these different series that we're doing. And the first one I want to share with you of this grouping is Psalm 37. This psalm spoke to my heart many, many years ago. And I'd like to share some of the things I've learned from it. And the Psalm 37 starts out, "Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity." And he says the reason we shouldn't be is in verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." But for so many years, I was a professional worrier and a fretter. And, you know, I could say, well, I grew up that way, or, you know, I come from a long line of worriers and et cetera. But that doesn't cut it with God. He says, "Fret not thyself." It's something that I do to myself. And now he's going to go on and tell us, what do I do when I'm fretting or worrying and all of the stuff that goes together there? And he gives us really a simple instructions in just a few words. The first thing he says, the first way to move from fretting to the Lord's peace is trust in the Lord and do good. The word trust is a very interesting word. In fact, when this first started speaking to me, I was in teaching in my second Bible college. And that spoke a lot to me. And what does trust really mean? What is that word? Well, in the Hebrew, it's sort of a picture word. I never thought I would have to use a cane to get around, but I do. And it's a very, very useful tool. And if you ever have to start using canes, right now they're making canes that are straight, and I don't like them. And I found this old wood one, and it's such a, it fits your hand better than this. You just feel like you have more control. But what's a cane for? Well, it's the picture there is the trust is like leaning. I lean on the cane because of a hip problem. So the first of all is, what am I leaning on? What am I leaning on for support? And I need to lean on the Lord. I trusted Him. Now I need to learn to lean on Him as I would put my weight on the cane. He goes on and he gives us the second word that's important. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now that's a very, very interesting word. Delight thyself. And I skipped the word also. I sort of read it, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, how do I delight myself in the Lord? I'm going to sit down and laugh and sit down and be happy and kind of that fakey Christianity kind of thing? No, that's not what he's saying. The key word in that particular phrase is the word also. He said, as we delight ourselves in many other things and activities, use the same process to delight in the Lord. Because if I don't delight in the Lord, we'll get into that in a little minute here, but if I don't delight in the Lord, then God cannot give me the desires of my heart. Because as I use the process of delighting, my heart desires will change. And they'll be more in line with God's desires for me. Okay, now, the word also there, I thought, I don't play golf. A friend of mine, they told him he was going to start a church in this wealthy area. He was going to have to play golf. So he said he chased the ball one time, almost all morning, over 18 holes. And if he says that that's the only way to start a church, is I'm out of here. You know, it just takes too much time. But if you are a golfer and a beginning golfer, you get a manual of instructions. You maybe buy the golf magazine. You may watch videos on how to hold the club and how to swing, because you delight in that sport. But what you're doing is you're spending time finding out about that sport, how to do it more effectively, and so on. So the key is what I spend time, it's I get to know the sport. I understand a lot about it. So he's saying, as you take the same steps as you would to delight in any activity that you like doing, they're having the Olympics in England. I know this is going to date this, but my son was a runner, and the coach would watch him and watch his stride and would say, now, if you want to run a better race, you need to lengthen your stride and all this kind of stuff. And he was very serious about cross-country running. And so he took advice and followed the advice and began to practice all of that because he really delighted in running. And so he said, as you delight yourself in any activity or in any person, I remember being in Upper Michigan, going to a prayer meeting. A lot of the churches that were evangelical all met together because none of the churches up there in Sault Ste. Marie were that large. But when we all met together, there could be 20 to 40 people of those that were out of high school. I was in the Army. Others were, was more of singles, and they were, you know, having jobs or whatever, or college students or other Air Force or Army guys that would come. And I remember seeing a girl that really drew my attention. I thought, there is a godly girl. Now, remember, I was a new Christian, and I thought, wow, she must really be godly. But I didn't know who she was. So I would like to get to know about her and who she is and, you know, what church she goes to and all of that. And as we spent time together and sharing and talking about our goals, our vision, our desire to serve God, all those things. But see, delighting in my wife now, Muriel Marguerite, in my delighting in her meant that I spent time with her and I shared my heart with her and she shared her heart with me. That's what delighting is. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And as I delight in him and learn about him, spend time with him and talk to him, my heart's desires will get in line with his heart. And God can give me then those things. And then verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit is an interesting word. It's a much deeper word than trust. Commit is a picture of sticking your arms out, and someone stands behind you and they say, lock your knees. When I say fall, fall, and I'll catch you. And the falling back and being caught is the picture of being committed. It's not just leaning. It's throwing yourself totally into the arms of the Lord. It's kind of the picture there. So there is sort of a progression here. He says, stop fretting. Begin to trust in the Lord. Begin to spend time in delighting yourself in the Lord, and then you'll be open to commit. The vignette we did just before this one was the trapeze illustration, and about how when a guy would do the spins in the air, he would have to, first of all, let go of the safety bar that he's on. He's swinging back and forth. He'll let go of that and let go and put his arms out, trusting that Joe, his catcher, would catch him. This is the same thought. He was committing himself to the catcher. And God wants us to commit ourselves to him. Let go of what you call security. Let go of false concepts about God and all of that. And really commit yourself to him and your life to him, your family to him. You will not be sorry. You know, each one of our children, we committed to the Lord when they were in the womb. The Word of God says that God opens and closes the womb, and children are the heritage of the Lord. And every child that a Christian has was given to them by God for a time. And we have basically about 18 years to prepare them for God's calling on their life and their life work. And so take parenting and child training very, very seriously, because the one thing that you and I have that's going to continue on after we're gone is our children. And God brought that to me in a very unique and very strong way when I pastored my first church in Northern California, up in the mountains. In fact, the little town's called Aden, A-D-I-N. And they had an anniversary of the church. I forget which one it was. Well, we were there. So my wife went through the history of the pastors that had pastored that little church down through all the years. And she would ask someone in the church, who was Sam something or other? And they go, I don't remember. I remember there was a Sam somebody. But I also knew that years later, someone would say, well, who was this Jim Logan? And they go, I'm not sure. I remember he was here. I don't remember a lot. Well, the clue is, and the key was to me, that one day the church might not remember who I am, but there are three girls and a boy who remember who Jim Logan is, their father. And I'm not saying for missionaries and pastors and people in Christian work or people in the business world that you can get so wrapped up in your profession that God's called you to. And I think God calls people to all kinds of professions. It's not worth if you gain the whole world and lose your children. God put that on my heart in the very beginning. And I really tried in all the various ministries we've been in to try to keep a healthy balance between ministry and family. Because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say and evaluate what kind of a parent I was in raising the children he loaned me. I trust this little lesson will be a blessing to you.